The attacks in New York City, rural Pennsylvania, and the capital in Washington, D.C. We have 9/11, 2001 were, of course, one of the great tragedies of our time. And on the 10th anniversary of those events this coming Sunday, there will be concerts the country over memorializing those events, and our region is no exception. On today's program, I'll be talking with choral directors involved in two area concerts. Ollie Watts Davis conducts the University of Illinois Black Chorus. They are giving a world premiere on the occasion that will begin at the time of the attacks Sunday morning at 7:46. In fact, we will be simulcasting that on two of our frequencies here on WILL. And then later on the show, I'll be talking with Carol Carlson, who is Choral Activities Director at Illinois State University. They are giving a concert Sunday afternoon in Normal on the campus there with choirs and also the Wind Symphony involved in that program. And that particular one is sort of part of a national choral initiative, which we'll talk about as well. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Stay tuned. We heard the Cheryl Bailey Four, with Cheryl Bailey on guitar, Jim Riddle on the piano, Gary Wang on bass, and Shingo Okudara on the drums. The tune was called A Muse Sings. And the Cheryl Bailey Four will be among the many, many performers at the Elnora Guitar Festival happening at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, starting tomorrow with the opening night party and continuing through Saturday, and we'll be having a couple of live artists from the festival on the next two shows here on Live and Local. This is Live and Local, your local performance connection. I'm Kevin Kelly, and on the program with me now is Ollie Watts Davis, who is professor of voice at the University of Illinois School of Music and also for a long, long time the director of the University of Illinois Black Chorus. On Sunday morning at 7:46, which is the time of the airplane hit one of the towers, I'm not sure which one, at the World Trade Center in New York City on September 11, 2001, they will launch into the world premiere of a piece called Refuge, which was written for the occasion, and that will be just a short concert, and she's here to tell us about the program and the piece. Ollie, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin, for having me.
So will the complete program be one work, or are there some other pieces as well?
Yes, the complete performance will be this one piece, Refuge, and it will run the length of the duration between the first hit and the second hit. So we start at 7:46 and we conclude around 8:02 or 8:03.
So when the first plane hit the towers at 7:46?
Yes.
Yeah.
8:46 Eastern Standard Time, of course.
Eastern Standard, yeah, right.
Yes.
And actually, folks can hear this throughout our listening area on two of our frequencies here on WILL. I was going to say FM 90.9. In fact, we won't have it on 90.9. We'll have it on our frequency at 101.1 FM, which is our all-classical program frequency, and also on one of our HD channels.
Wonderful.
If you have an HD radio, our 90.9 frequency at that point will be hooked up with NPR, and they're doing a number of tributes as well. So this piece is co-written by you, I notice.
It is.
Tell me about the genesis of Refuge.
Well, I was given the request, or I received the request in May from Carl Kramer, who's asked if Black Chorus would do the performance, and he says, why don't you think about having someone write a piece for the choir and for this particular 10th year observation? And I thought, what an honor, what a privilege. And so I started thinking about some texts that I would like to have set, and I called up several of my songwriter composer friends, but one was the obvious choice, a University of Illinois alum and an alum from Black Chorus, who, in addition to being a songwriter composer, he's a pastor, he's an attorney, he's just an altogether incredible individual. So I spoke with him early on about the text that I was thinking about would like for him to consider. And so we just sort of went back and forth in collaboration with writing the lyrics and writing the music.
K. Edward Copeland, yes. Is his name, and he yes. goes by?
Well, I call him Kenneth Edward.
Oh, Kenneth but, Edward. He gets yes. the whole treatment
but
from you.
Pastor Copeland, yeah, he gets the full treatment from me.
Okay, and the title Refuge comes from?
Well, the text, inspired by the 46th Division of Psalm and also the Isaiah 54. And there are some direct quotations from the scripture that says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And so there are other texts that are completely lifted from the scripture into the song. So I thought I wanted a one-word title. And I thought of shelter, and that would have been fine, anchor, but refuge just seemed to be right.
Well, that seems a wonderfully appropriate scripture, just that little bit right there.
Yes.
And, of course, the Black Chorus has very strong roots in the spiritual tradition, by yes. you know, meaning both the African-American spiritual, but also spirituality in general, and the Christian religion in particular, gospel, such
yes.
a strong tradition, which you do on every concert. How do the singers take to the idea of doing this? Because they don't usually do world premieres.
Well, they're right? very, very honored and excited. And so they're excited to present. And, of course, we will keep this piece as a staple in our repertoire because it does have different elements from many different genres in this African-American sacred music tradition. We have the solo voice represented, the women's chorus, men's chorus, gospel chorus, and even sort of a contemporary lyrical line and a full harmonized anthem sort of chorus. And so they've been really delighted working on it, and they've been very patient with me because when co-writing the piece and hearing it, you know, just the instrumentation, just singing through different lines, I couldn't fully harmonize it by myself. And so I've sort of tweaked some of the harmonization, and they've really been wonderful. And it's been a real fast learning curve because, you know, we've only been in school for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes.
So they just picked it up.
Yes, at the beginning of the first day of class, we start working on it.
Did you throw in some extra rehearsals?
Not with the full choir, but with the instrumentalists, of course, and with the soloists. There'll be, you know, different coachings for them, and yeah.
Well, let's hear some. I know you wanted to sort of give some of the sections here.
Certainly,
to give an
yeah.
idea of the variety that's in here. We have an opening here, towards the opening, with a male soloist who
yes.
is?
The president of the Black Chorus, Larry Stribling.
And any further introduction required before we just hear a bit of it?
Let's hear it.
Stand, earthquakes and
So there's a portion, of which we're going to hear several, from a new piece that will have its world premiere this coming Sunday morning. Is called Refuge, co-written by Kenneth Edward Copeland and Ollie Watts Davis. Ollie is the director of the University of Illinois Black Chorus, who is giving the performance, including the two soloists you just heard. And we mentioned the name of the male soloist. Who's the female soloist?
The female soloist is Jasmine Henderson,
who was a regular member. These are all chorus members?
Yes,
who are...
they're all members of the Black Chorus. Jasmine is in her fourth year at the university. She's also a vocal performance major in the School of Music.
Hmm. So in identifying the various styles, did you go to Kenneth Edward, Mr. Copeland, Pastor Copeland,
yes,
and say, I want you to represent the different styles that the Black Chorus does or that are in the Black sacred music tradition, or did you have any particular instructions for him?
Well,
other than the text,
he's written a few pieces before for Black Chorus for my Black Sacred Music Symposium, and so I asked him to give me something that had a similar flavor to several of those other compositions, and then I wanted for him to give me sort of like the arc of the piece, the total his total idea, and then I sort of pulled and put what I wanted and decided what would be a solo line, what I would harmonize as a choral line, and all of that. So that's why it's really a wonderful collaboration, in that he's more of an instrumentalist, and with me being a vocalist, I felt really strongly about what parts would serve best in unison line and what parts would serve best harmonized to really get the full effect of the words and the music across.
So he's more of an instrumentalist. He's sung in the Black Chorus.
Yes.
Did he also play at various
times?
Yes,
he was our accompanist. He played piano and organ. Yeah. But he was also a wonderful bass singer, so.
Does he get to be featured in this at all? Does he get to
I'm
sing in it?
I'm hoping that, not sing, but I'm asking him to come back to actually play the piano. There's the accompaniment will include the Hammond organ, which is a staple in Black sacred music tradition, especially with gospel choirs, percussion, and bass, and piano.
And not just any old Hammond organ, but the Hammond B3.
The Hammond B3, yeah. Yes. Also, I'm hoping to have a couple of surprises. There are some patriotic motifs in the prelude section that I'm hoping the audience will pick up. I don't want to tell them, but
no,
I'm really
not
excited about it. And then there's something, of course, in the close that sort of rounds it all out and takes us back to the genesis of the sacred music tradition.
Well, and this concert is actually the audience is directed to enter and leave in silence.
Yes.
So they'll simply experience the piece.
Yes.
And then go.
You know, I think it's a real generous move and brilliant move on behalf of the School of Music to offer this concert for the past, number of years, because it's the power of music and the power of community and how music, helps us to form community, embrace community, value community, and then just let the music speak. Kevin, always with the Black Chorus rehearsals, I mean, this choir is about 51% new. So we have about 49% returning students and 51% first-time members in Black Chorus. And so not to differentiate between those who've been with me for a while and those who are just now coming, I start right away teaching something that no one knows. So everyone has a very common experience. And I let them experience the music and just the vibe and the passion of being in the choir without even talking about, okay, this is the credit hour and this is this and this is our itinerary. But I think experiencing the music really sort of, brings together a bond that I think is lasting and that we hope is seen on stage when we're performing.
Well, and actually, I'm glad you mentioned the visual element, because in spite of the name Black Chorus, there are not only Black people in the chorus. It's the Black sacred tradition.
Yes.
And of course, it began, I'm sure, as an all-Black chorus. But it seems to me, every once in a while, I'll be down at the Krannert Center where you all rehearse, and I'll peek my head around into the choral room and just see what's going on. And it seems to me that over the years, I've seen a growing number of non-black students in the chorus. Is that an
Correct.
Accurate perception?
That's very accurate. We sing the music of black Americans. And I, in 1968, when the choir was first formed and organized, as you alluded to, was principally all black students who were on campus. And I think the Project 500 program had a lot to do with that. And other students were here who wanted to sing music from their own experience and have that sort of communal or community a resource. But over the years, it's been very deliberate on my part to expose as many students from diverse communities to experience the music and experience black chorus. And so you are absolutely correct. Over the years, we've had many non-black students, and it has become a very, how shall I say, it has become an elective of choice for international students who come to study, really? And they want to be in the black chorus. Mm. They've sung maybe in their home countries in choirs, and they come here and they want to join the black chorus. It's been really a rich and rewarding experience, I think, for everyone involved.
Just out of curiosity, again, in the interest of the coming together theme, to your knowledge, do you have any Muslim students in there currently?
Not to my knowledge, but I know we have Christian students, we have non-believers, we have Jewish students, we have Catholics, but I don't know. I mean, it's not a requirement that
It just occurred to me, as you're saying, they come from various countries and decide to join the chorus. Well, let's hear another segment here. I think we're coming up on a portion with the women's chorus, and then we'll hear a bit of the men.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then the women come back. And this is from Refuge, a new piece by K. Edward Copeland and Ollie Watts Davis that will have its world premiere Sunday morning at 9:46 at Smith Recital Hall on the University of Illinois campus, the 9/11 Memorial Concert on the campus of the University of Illinois featuring the U of I Black Chorus.
Thank you.
That is another excerpt from the piece called Refuge by K. Edward Copeland and Ollie Watts Davis, which will have its world premiere Sunday morning, and I gave the time wrong earlier, at 7:46 in the morning, which was the time when the first plane hit the World Trade Center towers on 9/11 in 2001, and this is the 9/11 Memorial Concert at the University of Illinois. And this piece was written specifically to last roughly between the time of the first plane hitting and the second plane hitting. Ollie Watts Davis is the conductor of the University of Illinois Black Chorus, who are featured here and is with me on Live and Local. Coming up in just a few minutes, I'll be talking with Carol Carlson, who leads one of the choirs that will participate in the 9/11 Memorial Concert at Illinois State University, which will be on Sunday afternoon. So you could run from one to the other if you really want to, go from Urbana to Normal, and it won't take that long either. Ollie, you were just telling me as we were playing this, just as the gospel chorus was coming in there, you referred to a gospel press, and I said, what's the gospel press? Why don't you tell our listeners, what's the gospel press?
Sure. Well, in a very succinct way, the gospel press is the part of a piece that employs the call and response form. And the choir usually repeats the response over and over while an improvising soloist, in this case, Dr. Phoebe Lanier, a soprano, will, out of her own experience, heighten the understanding of this one word that we continue to say over and over by ad-libbing on top of the choir's part. And we go through a series of modulations. In Refuge, we start in the key of F major, and we end in the key of A flat. So we do a chromatic modulation going through the keys in between. And so it sort of presses, and this is the part of the piece that usually people rock to, people remember, it sort of gets embedded in the spirit and the psyche, and it's the part that is there always with you, and that's the comforting part.
And that's, I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay.
That's all right. Well, it sounds like it should be a wonderful experience. So the segment we've been hearing from is from the beginning of the piece,
well,
roughly,
there's that
or it's sort of in the middle of the piece?
Overture. That Pastor Copeland is going to play for us in the beginning. And I envision him sort of introducing several different parts of the piece in this sort of brief overture. And then we'll have a chordal progression that makes it seem very official before the male soloist starts. And the text takes us from the soloist looking around at the conditions and environment and what's going on, both of them, to looking upward to, in the final verse, where the text is a direct quotation where the Lord is speaking to us.
Ollie Watts Davis, director of the UVI Black Chorus, and we at WINL will be broadcasting on two of our frequencies the concert live Sunday morning at 7:46. It's coming from Smith Recital Hall, where, of course, you can go hear it yourself in the Smith Memorial Hall on the UVI campus. And we'll be broadcasting it on 101.1 FM and on our HD channel as well. And appreciate very much your coming in and for writing the piece, co-writing the piece.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us. And I hope everyone will be able to come out and join us.
The 9/11 Memorial Concert on Sunday morning. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. Here's a group that will be playing at the Elnora Guitar Festival. They're the Carolina Chocolate Drops, and this is a tune called Why Don't You Do Right?
You had plenty of money in 1922. You let other women make a fool of you. get out of here and get me some money too. You're sitting down wondering what it's all about. You ain't got no money that will put you out. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too.
Carolina Chocolate Drops, a tune called Why Don't You Do It Right, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They'll be performing at the Elnora Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts this weekend. You can check their website, the Krannert's website, for the complete schedule, krannertcenter.com. And next on our show, we're going to be talking about the 9/11 Memorial Concert at Illinois State University, which is happening at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, featuring the ISU Wind Symphony and Choirs. With me now is the Director of Choral Activities there, Carol Carlson, who is, well, at least involved. I don't know if you're responsible for pulling this together, or why don't you tell me a little bit about the genesis of this program?
Yeah, the piece that it's centered around is a memorial by Renee Clausen. And John Cook, who is on our voice faculty, who is also directing the Civic Chorale, he really is the driving force behind this piece. He sang it, I think, one time in Jacksonville and has really wanted to perform it since then. But he's really the driving force behind it, and he's put it all together. He's done a great job.
So I understand, I think you told me that this is kind of part of something called a Global Sing for Peace.
Right. That's just a kind of a collaboration amongst choirs. It's very loose, but everybody trying to participate, and their idea is that we're celebrating music that gives tribute to those left behind in 9/11 and also the victims.
I read on their website, for the Global Sing website, that they were encouraging people to do not only concerts at about the same time mm-hmm. as this concert that's happening at Lincoln Center in New York, but also encouraging you to do at least one or more of the pieces that are they're doing on that concert, including this piece by Rene Clausen,
right.
You mentioned Memorial, and mm-hmm. also there's another piece as well, and you've picked up on that one, and also on music by Samuel Barber. They're doing the Adagio for Strings at that New York concert, and you're doing Barber's own twist on that same piece.
Right. He transcribed it much later, and so we're going to do Agnus Dei.
So the Agnus Dei text comes out of the Latin Mass.
Right. You know, the translation is Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world and give us peace. So it's really appropriate for this concert.
And is this one of the, are you conducting this piece
right.
on the program?
Right, and this is with concert choir.
I'm trying to remember if, it seems to me I may have sung this once, and if so, in any event, I seem to remember that it's a rather difficult sing.
It's very difficult because of the sustained lines, and, you know, if it was written for strings, I mean, he basically didn't change anything, so, but it's just stunningly beautiful.
And we have a recording here that I think you told me you're singing on?
Right.
With the Robert Shaw Festival mm-hmm. Singers from 1990, well, this came out in 1995. Here they are under the direction of Robert Shaw. We'll hear some of the Agnus Dei based on the Adagio for Strings by Samuel Barber. This is one of the pieces that will be performed at ISU in Normal. What's the location for the concert?
It's at the Center for Performing Arts.
Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Has to be one of the most beautiful pieces ever written, Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings. In this case, his own arrangement or reworking, I guess you'd have to say, for choir. Reworked only in the sense that he adds words. The Agnus Dei from the Latin Mass, Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. This is one of the pieces that will be performed at the 9/11 Memorial Concert on the Illinois State University campus in Normal at the Center for the Performing Arts there, performed by the concert choir of ISU, conducted by my guest on this portion of Live and Local, Dr. Carol Carlson, who's director of choral activities there. And we talked about the difficulty of the piece, but you said also that in spite of the difficulty, and maybe somewhat because of it, the choir is somewhat in love with this piece?
They have really taken to it, and they love the harmonic motion, and they feel really deeply about the concert, but also about the music. They're very sensitive to what they can accomplish through that music, and it's pretty astounding. I'm very proud of them.
The concert will open with music by David Maslanka, if mm-hmm. I have things in order here.
Yeah.
Which is called In Memoriam. Was this written for 9/11 or mm-hmm. for
yeah.
some other purpose, for 9/11?
Yeah.
Have you heard this yet?
I have not, but the other two guys, John Cook and Steve Steele, they couldn't be here today because they're actually rehearsing that right now. So they, Maslanka's music has a lot of color and feeling as well, so it's really an appropriate piece for this concert.
I've heard some other music
yeah.
of his, particularly for band.
Right.
He seems to write especially for.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really very powerful,
yeah.
wonderfully written, and idiomatic for the wind symphony.
Yeah, he's got a really great relationship with the bands at ISU. So he comes to campus quite a bit and works with our students. They do a lot of recording. So this piece is near and dear to everybody's hearts as well.
Ollie Watts Davis in our previous segment was saying that that there's a bit of a challenge putting together a concert like this so early in the semester.
Yeah. We've been to school. This is our third week of class.
And did you get a jump start in the fall? I mean, in the spring or?
Well, they did start rehearsing the Clausen a little bit earlier, but I sent out the Barber ahead of time to say, we're doing this in 3 weeks. So here you go. And they it was really great. They did it.
Look at it if you can, yeah. Sort of direction. And the Clausen, as you referred, is called Memorial. This was indeed written to commemorate the September 11th attacks, and it has four sections to it. I haven't heard the piece other than just sampling it right now for a little bit, of which I'll share mm-hmm. part. But you've looked in a couple of rehearsals because John Cook, you said, is conducting a different choir.
Mm-hmm. Well, a concert choir is also performing this, so this one's combined choir, so it's Civic Chorale. Concert choir and madrigal singers are all singing the Clausen.
The Civic is the university community
right.
combined choir.
Mm-hmm. So all told, there'll be close to, I'd say, 220 singers.
What can you tell me about your experience of the piece just in rehearsal?
Well, it's got these beautiful melodies that seem to be interrupted by intervals that foreshadow somewhat a lot of angst. And then it works its way through that. And incidentally, this it was written for orchestra, and so we've had it now transcribed for wind symphony. So it's just winds, and it's they use percussion and the colors of the winds just to astounding degrees. It's so beautiful, and then also different text. So Adonai. And a lot of, there's a section where the choir is kind of aleatorically weeping and moaning, so that it really depicts, it's very colorful, depicts the events and the scene of 9/11. And then it moves back into a section that is more at rest and peace and trying to incorporate the feeling of hope throughout all of this chaos.
So it looks, sounds like a mixture of texts.
Yeah.
From various places. I notice that there's a little bit from a traditional Buddhist meditation right. that appears in there. May I be peaceful, may you be peaceful, may we be peaceful, mm-hmm. may we live with ease of heart, may we live in joy. And a lot of tension in the piece, as you might expect. The mm-hmm. four segments called September Morning, which was a beautiful day. I'd forgotten that mm-hmm. myself. And then the attack, and then prayers and petitions. I don't know exactly what section I've caught here, but it does it is one of the ones that adds some tension mm-hmm. From an extremely peaceful and serene opening. This is from Memorial by Renee Clausen, one of the pieces that will be performed at ISU, Illinois State University, at the 9/11 Memorial Concert Sunday afternoon at 3:00 at the Center for the Performing Arts. Portion of Renee Clausen's work called Memorial, commemorating the attacks of 9/11, 2001. The complete work will be performed at ISU by the Wind Symphony and combined choirs there. It will be conducted by John Cook, he says his name. And our colleague here at WILL in the news department, Jeff Bossert, did an extended interview with Renee Clausen about this piece and about the occasion of the concerts that are happening in New York at the same time at Lincoln Center that include that piece. And Dr. Clausen spoke a bit about the emotions involved in performing this piece.
It's a piece that draws you in. It paints the picture of the beautiful September morning and Debussy and light music, and then moves on to the music of destruction, which is quite graphic, and you don't need to understand music to know what's happening when you hear very Stravinskian type rhythm and elemental kinds of orchestration, and just it's very picturesque music. I remember being, when I was working either with the choir or the orchestra, being very trying to keep my emotions in check and never addressing that part of the piece. We just rehearsed it, and rehearsed it technically, and I always kept myself in, even though it was my piece, I kept myself very much in emotional control, never really getting or expressing that part of it. And so as a result, and any choral director will tell you, your kids, your students will reflect the attitude that you bring to it. And so they were all kind of staying with me on this. And then it came to the last rehearsal before we were going to fly out to New York. We actually did a performance here on campus for a special event. So we performed it once before we went out to New York City. And so we had the last rehearsal where we had the choir, the orchestra, the soloist. We had some extra singers, choir alums come to join us just to kind of beef up to about 100 singers. It's a big, thick orchestration. And we went through and we did the piece completely in that last rehearsal. And that was where, at the end of that rehearsal, I just lost it. I cut off at the end and I just broke down. I had been steeled for literally a couple of months ahead of it. And now I think, you know, you're tired, you're prepared, you're worked hard, and everybody was well prepared for this. And it finally just hit me that I could not control it anymore. And I just teared up right there and broke. And it was the greatest thing that could have happened because everybody did. I just remember seeing that the orchestra, the choir, the soloist, everybody had this collective moment of letting go all that pent-up emotion and powerful expression that's part of the piece. And now when I look back at it, I see how important that was, because that meant then that we didn't need to do that when we were in performance.
René Clausen, who is composer of the work called Memorial, which he will be conducting at Lincoln Center Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock Eastern Time, and which is part of the global Sing for Peace, of which Illinois State University is participating in, including with the performance of that work. Carol Carlson of the ISU Choirs is with us. And I'm curious, as you're conducting, well, as you were listening to the memorial and on all, as you're conducting and rehearsing the Barber Agnus Dei, if you had a similar experience and if the performers there seem to have a similar emotional experience as he's describing.
They sure do, and it's pretty difficult with music that is so beautiful. But then we also have to remember that it can be beautiful when it's right. So we still have to take care of the business of getting everything lined up and the text and color. But occasionally, you know, somebody just gets lost in the music, or maybe I do, and it's just an understanding we have that that's part of being a musician. We don't want to discount the importance of a real, true connection. And sometimes it's visceral. You just can't help it. It's wonderful when that happens.
I remember hearing years ago, I think, some opera singers say that if you don't keep your own emotions in check to a degree, you won't be able to convey them sufficiently well. But then, of course, you have to be involved or you won't convey them sufficiently well either.
It's a little bit of a contradiction, but, you know, sometimes I always tell them I have the best seat in the house because I get all the sound, all of their beauty. And so it's particularly hard for me because I just get, you know, really caught up in it. But then I have to go about the business of conducting them too. So
you have the advantage of not actually have to have this be producing the sound. So if your voice shakes, maybe your hand will shake.
Maybe.
But that's all. Yeah. It's the 9/11 Memorial Concert at the Center for the Performing Arts at Illinois State University in Normal. It's happening at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, beginning with David Maslanka's In Memoriam with the ISU Wind Symphony led by Dr. Stephen Steele, and then Clausen's Memorial with the Wind Symphony and Choirs, featuring a guest soloist, Metropolitan Opera mezzo-soprano Kit Reuter-Foss, and John Cook conducting, and then ending with, or nearly ending with, the Adagio or Agnus Dei of Samuel Barber, with Dr. Carol Carlson conducting, who's my guest here on this portion of Live and Local. And I appreciate your coming over and talking to us today.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. Support comes in part from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com.